The Nightmare Before Liberty by Alan Thomas. I thought I could be Santa. I had such belief. Jack Skellington, in The Nightmare Before Christmas, sincerely believed that he could be in charge of Christmas, yet it turned into complete chaos. He found out the hard way that the nature of things cannot change, and when that nature is asked to perform antithetically to its purpose, then chaos will naturally ensue. Similarly, in America, we are seeing a resurgence of socialism, communism, and Marxism that is seeking to use the soul of the American experience and governance to pursue its idealistic intent. These ideologies do not just merely ask for more centralized government. They are a completely different operating system that is incompatible with our current system. The Constitution was designed to decentralize powers. The courts are equally designed to block the tools communism requires. And the public is intended to thwart communism, forcing itself upon us, similar to Jack trying to hijack Christmas. The Constitution was structurally designed to prevent the federal government from ever expanding into the behemoth, centralized government needed for communism. The enumerated powers given to the federal government was to eliminate the ability of the government to grow. They also provided friction by allowing the states to retain a much broader and open set of powers. Our government creates delay through the separation of powers, allowing each branch to veto or prevent another branch from exceeding its authority. We even see friction within a single branch of government with our bicameral legislative branch that can often block itself from proposing policies. The process to change the structure of our government is also very difficult, as we have only seen the Constitution amended 27 times in almost 250 years. While speaking of amendments, the first 10 pose some of the greatest challenges to communism in America, because they specifically protect and affirm the need for individual rights. For as long as there are property rights, due process, and prohibitions on government takings, communism will naturally run up against a wall and will only cause chaos as it tries to circumvent these bulwarks in its path. Communism is much more than just an economic plan and utopian vision. It is also an enforcement and logistical project. Communism needs enforcement leverage over speech, association, religion, property, and dissent, which the courts have been reluctant to relinquish to the government. The courts prevent the enforcement tools of communism in their quest to centralize and control property. More precisely, the courts that actually defend the Constitution and consistently enforce the rights of individuals are the ones responsible for stemming the communist tide attempting to sweep the country. When the city governments decide to creep towards communism, it is the courts that step up to squash their tyrannical authority. When quasi-governmental utility companies try to take private property, the citizens turn to the courts to protect them. So long as courts continue to treat individual rights as real limits and not just suggestions, the enforcement tools that communism requires will keep failing the moment they touch actual American law. Our founders were wise enough to know and understand that over-reliance on government and the Constitution is not a good enough plan to prevent power-hungry individuals or ideologies from circumventing their design and, in turn, centralizing power. They knew the ultimate bulwark would be the citizens, which is why they made them active participants. A dependence on the people is, no doubt, the primary control on the government. Federalist 51. As they also pointed out in an earlier Federalist paper, the people are the ultimate source of power, which is why if we are to preserve what we have, we must continue to educate the public on what the Constitution really is and why it is designed that way. Communism will only become possible if, at the end of the day, the citizens decide to amend the Constitution, tolerate its circumvention, or stop treating their own rights as non-negotiable. Even though Jack Skellington kidnapped Santa, Santa never treated him as a monster. At the end, he even acknowledged his ill-guided intent as having the right goal but the wrong process. Similarly, we cannot condemn those who are lost in such utopian speculation that communism posits, but we can hold them accountable for the inevitable chaos. Even though the intent is good, it is still not the correct course of action. Fairness and compassion can be real motives that can still produce rotten systems, because they do not account for the true nature of humanity. We have allowed communism to slowly creep into our everyday lives through judicial drift and an expanding bureaucracy. And we have also seen the chaos that follows that creep. Like Santa, we must kindly acknowledge the goodness that is intended, while also keeping communism and centralized government trapped back where it belongs, with Halloween and all of its horrors. "My dear Jack," said Santa, "I applaud your intent. I know wreaking such havoc was not what you meant, and so you are sad and feeling quite blue. But taking over Christmas was the wrong thing to do. I hope you realize Halloween's the right place for you." "My dear liberals," said constitutionalists, "I applaud your intent. I know wreaking such havoc was not what you meant, and so you are sad and feeling quite blue. But taking over America was the wrong thing to do. I hope you realize China's the right place for you."